Somebody just arrange some water for me, please. Is this on? Goeiemôre. Just got one small announcement. On the 8th of May, there's a massive braai at Sean's house. For the men. Yeah. No salad, yeah. Sure, I don't know how to start this with me. Are there any visitors here or anybody that doesn't know me? Nobody. Everybody knows me. So, okay. I'm not going to spend time then to introduce myself since we all know who I am. But I want to say this, that I've been serving the Lord now since 12 September 2010. And I had an encounter with Him that radically changed my life. And so I went from darkness to light, and I've never gone back. Okay, the trajectory of my life changed that day, and I'm still on that same trajectory. All my weaknesses and failings and mistakes and missing the mark, I'm heading in one direction, amen. And a big part of me and the hunger in me and what drives me and motivates me is understanding. I had an encounter that was unexpected. I didn't expect to have an encounter. I didn't know that you can have an encounter. But when I had the encounter, I was full of questions. How does this work? Who is this person that encountered me? How can I know him? Amen. So I'll start with a scripture. In reality, I'm a logical person, but in reality, we gather like this and we are here because of Jesus, in a sense. And we all, if we are in Him, claim to have a relationship with God, right? But we can't see God like we can see this. We can't touch Him. We can't go, well, God is there. And I can't prove that any other person has a real relationship with Him. And no other person can prove that I have a relationship with God. They can look at me, listen to me, evaluate the fruit of my life, and maybe make a deduction. So there's a mystery here. And this morning I want to spend a bit of time just speaking about the Holy Spirit, who He is. He's working in our lives, what He does. And we want to build towards a place of understanding. Amen. It's wonderful having encounters. I want encounters. I want encounters for me, and I want other people to have encounters. But I want people to have understanding so that after the encounter, they serve Him and love Him and follow Him and obey Him. If our encounters are not leading us to that place, then I question whether they are real. Amen. Start with the Word. Among the mature, we impart wisdom. It is not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. What He has prepared for us. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things he has given us. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's a whole preach just in there. And this morning, they say what preaching is yelling and teaching is telling. I'm not really going to preach this morning. What I'm going to do is just share some scriptures with us, okay? And so what I want to ask is that each one of us just goes to the scriptures themselves and reads in the week to come so that we grow in our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? So my title this morning is God is Relational, Not Mechanical. And this is an introduction, amen, an introduction to who he is, the Holy Spirit. We will look at some practical things and look at some scriptures. You should know it already. It is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 16. The next ones will go up. That was just the introduction. This is a time of transition. Who believes me? I can feel it. I feel a change within myself since this congregation has multiplied. We say the words, God is doing a new thing. Can you feel it? Do you perceive it? Do you understand? Now it happens. Now it springs forth like water flowing in the wilderness. As I was standing over there, even Yaku and Kim, I see you guys joining us. I don't know you, I know a little bit, but I even feel to you that new life is flowing into you. I don't know if this is a holiday or sabbatical or what it is, but I feel like new life is flowing into you. And sometimes we want to feel the refreshment, we want to feel the change and then do, but it doesn't work like that. We do, and then we realize God has worked something into us. He's built a strength, a resilience, a power, an overcoming spirit. Yeah, Lord, so we pray for the Dipenors who are in our midst. Lord, I pray their time here will be like a fountain of living water that will gush and flow and bless and refresh and revive and renew and restore and be whatever they need, God, not just for them, but to pour out into the whole world. In Jesus' name. I came to a birthday party yesterday afternoon. I saw Acts 2:42 just lived out. The kids stole most of the cupcakes. People brought a meal to share. I saw Joanne and other ladies minister to another elder's wife there in the corner, and you could sense something powerful was happening there. I chatted with other people, and we spun the birthday girl around, and then that was encourage and give word, and then we gave words to Anaya and prayed for her, and then we worshipped. It was amazing. It was not religious, but it was very sweet and spiritual. evidence of something. Evidence of a spirit, I believe. Let me get into this. I don't work with assumptions on spiritual things. I don't even assume that everybody who sits here is saved, knows Jesus, or serving the Lord. So I don't want to assume that we all know the Holy Spirit, that we understand how He works, that we know how to relate to Him. Because I didn't know, I didn't understand. I was filled with questions. And so this morning I'm going to just share a little bit of what I've learned as well, very practical. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is He? Where is He? How does He work? I think that's the first questions we need to ask, like, who is He? What is He? Because we don't know, we can't see Him. A.W. Tozer said this, what is the Holy Spirit? Not who, but what? The answer is that the Holy Spirit is a being dwelling in another mode of existence. He has not weight nor measure, nor size, nor any color, no extension in space, but nevertheless He exists. He is a spirit. He is a different essence, a different presence. We can't touch Him, can't see Him, He's invisible. Yet He's everywhere and He fills all things with His presence. And He is a person. The Bible says that He will do this. He has a mind and a will and an intellect. He's not some anonymous force or power. He's not the gifts. He's a person. And so you can relate to Him as a person. As you can speak to me or relate to me, you can relate to the Holy Spirit. And I want to make it very practical. Because He is the one that is mostly ignored in the church. He's the most ignored person of the Trinity. Thirdly, He is God, the third person. We have our Father, we have Jesus our Lord, we have the Holy Spirit. He is not less, He's equal in every way. And He is the one that helps us to understand this mystery of knowing Jesus and understanding who Jesus is and living for Him. Where is He? He is right here with us. Amen. And so since He is a person, the main thing that I want to say this morning is He's relational. It's not mechanical. It's not about learning the special words. It's not about praying in a certain way. Amen. In my old life, I used to see watch bad movies. And then the priest cowers there in the corner because he can't remember the right words. And the devil, like, dominates him. It doesn't work like that. Everything flows from your relationship. Even the gifts, things like healing and amen. Relational, not mechanical. Holy Spirit is near. What did we hear in the preach in Wellington? He's near to us. What did we see? An outpouring of His presence. The Word and the Spirit. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. There is nowhere that you can go where he is not near to you. Amen. So he is present. Firstly, what does he do? He draws us near. He's near to us, but then he draws us near. He draws us into the kingdom. Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and judgment, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged." I love Jesus. John 6, 43-44. Jesus, they were asking him questions and interrupting him. And then Jesus said, "Stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up." So if you are here, if you are in the kingdom, if you are born again and if you are saved, it is because the Holy Spirit has drawn you near, convicted you of your sin, and revealed Jesus to you. I mean, if you don't have that, you have a form of godliness or a tradition of man. I'm an evangelist. I'm a bad evangelist. My heart is rotten and I'm selfish. I don't like to evangelize. But sometimes God speaks to me and then it's like, ah. So this morning, I went for a run to clear my head. And I'm in the last kilometer on the way home and I still have to finish my preach and prepare my slides and everything. And there sits somebody in the rain who I don't want to see, and he actually even waves to me. And I'm in my worship music and I'm running. I run straight past him. I'm just being honest. Then I hear the voice, "Stop. Go back. Go speak to him." I wanna show just the reality of the Holy Spirit. Not me. I didn't want to even speak to that person. I was selfish. I just wanted to go for a run. And sometimes, even as a leader, we work with people and disciple and shepherd and try and guide through difficult things. And people, even in the church, who've known the Lord for years, struggle to hear and listen and adjust. I walked to that person this morning. His name is Marlo. And when I came to him, he took his beanie off of his head. I asked him, "Why did you do that?" He said, "As a sign of respect." And I chatted with him a little bit. I said this to him, "You are unclean." His body is dirty. That wasn't what I meant. Meant he is unclean because of his sin. The tears just poured out of that man. He shook as the Holy Spirit came into him as he gave his life to Jesus. He said this, "I can feel the Spirit in me. I can feel that I've changed." It wasn't anything that I did. There's a reality. When I said to him, "You are unclean," the Holy Spirit convicted him of his sin. The tears poured out. Said, do you believe in Jesus? I believe. Do you know him? No, I do not know him. He is not my Lord. You cannot say that he is your Lord except if the Spirit is in you. And it was my privilege to lead him to Jesus this morning. What happened to Marlo, the person next to the road who's got nothing? He's actually from Alsace River. His family still lives there, but he can't live there. He says it's too dangerous. Everybody gets shot. It's safer for him to live on the streets of Monte Vista than to live at home. The Holy Spirit comes that moment and makes his home inside of that man. We see it in the life of Jesus when he was baptized. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descends upon him. I believe the moment of salvation, the Spirit comes inside of us. He regenerates us. He makes us alive. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have received from God? Amen. Wonderful. Don't know how much time I've taken. He draws us, he reveals Jesus to us, convicts us of our sin, he resurrects us, he lives inside of us, and then he starts to work. And he leads us. Luke 4:1-2, it says, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit from the Jordan River, and then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, where he ate nothing at all and became very hungry. Then if you follow the life of Jesus, it says that he returns from the Spirit in the power, or from the desert in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. So there comes an anointing and an empowerment. Amen. Jesus said the Spirit is upon him, that he's been anointed for the ministry. Micah 3:8, he said, as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. If we know that God opposes the proud, that prophet stood up and he declared the reality. He knew that he had power within him, and that power from the Holy Spirit. You must ask yourself, do you have power inside of you? Do you have that assurance? In the beginning, when I got chance to preach, I would drive around and shout to heaven until my voice went away and plead and beg with God. And if he doesn't move, I won't I won't do it. And he was very gracious, and he would answer, and he would work and move, and you know, I've realized something, that there's a person with me. It's not so much about my performance or knowing all the words or fasting till I look like a skeleton so that I can operate in his power. It's knowing him. Amen. Who knows who Keir Taylor is? It's a guy that came through the church, moves in miracles. So obviously I had to ask him, how do you grow in miracles? says, I don't know. You just get to know God better. Amen. And this is really foundational material. It's very spiritual though, but it's important. If we learn and grow in this relationship with the Holy Spirit, the life that we live, it becomes a supernatural life. The Lord may interrupt your run or your shopping trip or whatever it may be. He teaches us. John 14, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. Amen. Nehemiah 9:20, God gave us a good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold the manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. You know, we live in an influencer time or world where people are flocking to people who seem to have what they want or people who look a certain way. Instead of building a relationship with the one whom Jesus sent to be with us. We can learn from people, oh, don't get me wrong, but we should learn from the Holy Spirit Himself. He fellowships with us. 2 Corinthians 13, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Philippians 2, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any encouragement? We have eternal life. We don't go to hell. We go to heaven forever. Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Amen. Is this helpful? Sorry, I'm going through a lot of material. This is one aspect where people really struggle sometimes. He appoints into leadership and He sends out. Acts 13. One day as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? We can know that in a context where we value the truth and we follow Jesus and we build according to Scripture and we walk in His ways, like the real thing, the real church, it is the Lord who raises up leaders. Many people struggled when they put my name on the board for eldership. Many people struggle with me even now. It's not what I chose. I thought maybe one day if I perform very well, then I'd be a deacon or something. But one day the Lord just spoke to my leaders and said, Martin must be on eldership. It's 10 years already. But have faith that as you serve Him and as you burn and as you give yourself and as you go and bless and are part, God can just suddenly say, Paul, you're going to the noon. Pray about that one. You laugh. We ended up in Kailicha like that, just like that. And then He bears witness through our lives. They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Do you see signs in your life? Do you see evidence of the Holy Spirit? Maybe we can all stand to our feet. I'll go back to the beginning. This is an introduction to the Holy Spirit. And we have all had moments when we have seen evidence that God is in the room, that He's working and moving and doing things. And well, we can make room today as well for that. But I want to import a hunger and an expectation. Because what I feel the Lord is doing is not something. I think He's doing something deeper. Let me say it like that. I feel He wants to bring understanding. He wants to bring knowledge. He wants to bring theological foundation. But I feel He's lining us up for an encounter. And so that when we receive the encounter, we will walk in Him. We will not resist. We will not disobey. We will not grieve. We will not quench. We will not respond incorrectly. Amen. Yeah. Lord, I want to pray for us.